At National University, it's not just a degree in answering the call when a wildfire strikes, getting responders to the scene, and families to safety. It's not just a degree in helping communities recover and rebuild. It's not just the degree. It's the degree to which you use it. Earn your degree in Homeland Security and Emergency Management with one course per month. Visit nu.edu to learn more about a nonprofit institution where students come first. National University, for the greater.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
Hello, welcome to the North Star Show with Lily Gardner and special guest Jake Valentine. Jake?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Let me introduce you real quick. Jake Valentine is a national award-winning motivational speaker. He is the author of Your Number One Goal, a contributing author in Jack Canfield's Living the Success Principles, and host of the Focus on the Good podcast. Over the last 5 years, he has presented and performed at hundreds of events, inspiring more than 250,000 people to create success through practical positivity. All right, Jake. So I want you to tell us about your chapter in the book, Living the Success Principles.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for having me on the show. That was such an exciting intro. I just feel pumped up and ready to go now.
All right.
So thank you. Anyway, so I was invited to write a chapter in Jack Canfield's Living the Success Principles, which was such an honor to me to be invited to do that because Jack Canfield and his work had such a big impact on me. And what that impact was is he has this concept of taking 100% responsibility. Now, we might feel like that seems like something negative, or what do you mean 100% responsible? Am I really responsible for everything in my life? And the answer is, I don't really know, but what I do know is that if you act as if you are 100% responsible for everything in your life, then that means you can do something about it. You know, maybe you do, maybe you don't have control of getting into that situation, but you do have 100% control of getting out of that situation. And for me in my life, there was a time where, I was pretty out of control, especially with my health, and I was depressed, and I was somewhere in the 270s in terms of my weight. I'm not exactly sure how heavy I actually was at the heaviest because I was too ashamed to even step on the scale until I started to make real progress. But what was even the bigger issue was for years, my wife and I were told that we would not be able to have children. Now, for me and my wife, you know, when I met my wife in college, I knew that she was going to be an incredible mom, and that's the reason I wanted to marry her. It was like I was hiring her to be the mother of my children. And that might sound weird, but for me, family has always been so important. And that's what I loved about her immediately, was just she loved children. And I knew that my children would be so lucky to have her as a mom. So that, you know, going into it, we weren't getting married, you know, just to keep going with life. We wanted to start something together. And when we were told that we couldn't have children, and the doctors said things like, you know, it's not going to happen. But not only that, I asked them, what can I do about it? Why is this happening? And they just said, well, we don't know why these things happen. I said, well, can my health be a part of it? And they just said, no, not really. That's not really what's going on. And years went down the road, and finally, there was a point where I hit total rock bottom. And at that point, I hit this depression where I was just feeling like this is so unfair. why is this happening? I've done everything that I can, because we've seen every doctor. We went to every specialist. We even went to acupuncture. We even went to natural herbalists and everything you could think of. And I'd done everything they asked me to do, and nothing was working. And I heard myself say that. And this goes back to that idea of 100% responsibility. Well, I said, I've done everything that I can. And all of a sudden in that moment, I realized I haven't done everything that I can. I haven't done everything that I can. I've taken pills. I've done procedures. I've done what the doctors told me to do, but I wasn't changing my habits. I wasn't changing my lifestyle. And it's like, well, this is a health problem. And it's ridiculous for me to think that I've done everything that I can when I'm somewhere in the 270s and I can hardly go up and down the stairs without huffing and puffing. And to think that I've done everything that I can, that's just completely naive and just completely not self-aware at all. And at that moment, I realized I haven't done everything that I can. And even though the doctors said that, hey, if I lost weight and changed my health, that wasn't going to change anything, I said, well, you know what? At this point, I can't say I've done everything that I can, and that's not enough for me. It's not enough for me to say, well, the doctors say that. I want to be able to say, well, you know what? I've done everything that I can, and be able to say it and honestly say that, because I didn't know if it was going to work. But at that point, I said, I'm going to do everything that I can. And that was the beginning for me. I built up this why that was so strong, because to me, hey, I wanted us to be able to have the family we always dreamed of more than I wanted my excuses of liking to eat whatever food and also not being able to have time to do this or that. And the reason was so much stronger. So I was able to push through it. And, you know, something I had tried for years, you know, in a very short time, you know, relatively short time, when you consider all these things, I had lost 60 pounds, completely transformed my health, and just was a completely different person, both outside and inside mentally. And, you know, it took a while. You know, it was quite a process, but eventually I got to the point to where I was really, you know, became like I was feeling on top of the world. And to make a long story short, 5 weeks ago, we had our very first child. And even, thank you. Yeah, I know, 6 weeks ago now. 6 weeks ago now. It's hard to remember because I don't sleep anymore. Yeah, 6 weeks ago, we had our very first child. And it happened because I took responsibility for my situation. I didn't just say, well, this isn't fair. Because, hey, I know so-and-so. I'm not going to name names, but I know people. Hey, I know this guy. He's over 300 pounds and they just had a kid. There's this guy who's incredibly unhealthy and they just, you know, and it's like, you know what? I can sit and talk about all day why this isn't fair and why that's not fair and how come them and how come them, but that doesn't help me. That doesn't help me at all. And the truth is I did that for years. Some people might hear me and say, wow, you know, that's really cool that this guy's just saying, well, forget about the excuses and forget about it not being fair. Well, you know what? I was there. I wallowed in that for a long time. And so I'm bold about this stuff. If something you feel like is not fair, you feel like something's not fair, well, too bad. It's not fair. That's true. It's not fair. But everybody has things that aren't fair. And so the real question is, are you going to just sit there and think about why it's not fair and dwell on that? Or are you going to actually change something? And that's your choice. And no one's suffering for the believing those things and wallowing in the unfair and living in the ain't it awful club. No one's suffering for that except for you. It's not harming anyone else. You're not doing anything to anyone else. But it's time to take 100% responsibility for your situation and say, you know what, maybe it is unfair. But because I did in some way play a part in this, maybe it's unfair, but I'm not an innocent victim. There is a part that I played. And if that's the case, I can do something about it. And if I can do something about it, then I'm going to do something about it. And anyway, the beginning of the question you were asking about the book, me writing in that book, after I experienced this, I wrote to Jack Canfield about how this is what happened and how his book played such a big part in that. And that concept of taking 100% responsibility, and he he just loved the story so much that he wanted to include me in the book. And it was really an honor to be a part of that. And anyway, I know that was a long answer, but there you go.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I feel like that book, The Success Principles by Jack Canfield, is the most cost-effective introduction to transformational teachings out there. So that's
That's a good way to put it. Absolutely. It's 60-something principles. You know, mostly, you know, you got 7 habits, you got 5 tips, you got 9 tips, you got whatever. Jack just said, you know what? Here's everything. 63 principles. And it is such a great introduction to everything, and I couldn't recommend that more. It's been very transformational in my life.
Yeah, mine too, definitely. So now I want to talk about practical positivity. Tell us about that.
Well, that's kind of a term that I've been using lately. And just over the last 6 months, and what it came down to is, so I host a podcast called Focus on the Good. I'm a professional speaker. That's what I do for my living, is I speak at leadership conferences and corporations and association events and seminars and things like that. And I was on an airplane, because that's where I spend a lot of my time, because I travel all over the place. So I spend a lot of time in airplanes. I'm sitting on an airplane, and I'm sitting next to this guy, and we get talking like you do on an airplane about what we do and stuff like that. And he says, he's asking about what I do, and I tell him I'm a speaker, and he says, well, what do you talk about? And I said, well, I talk about the importance of having a positive attitude. And he goes, you know, that's nice, but I'm more of a realist. And, you know, I sat there and had this conversation with him, and he was talking to me all about being a realist and how that's better, and this positivity stuff is just kind of mumbo jumbo. And as we started talking and I'm listening to him, I realized he's not a realist. This guy's a pessimist. And there's a difference there. And what I realized was, you know what? Positivity is the most practical advice that I can give somebody, because it's proven that take the two groups, take a pessimist and an optimist. So you take these two different people, and both of them set a goal. The optimist sets a goal, the pessimist sets a goal. The optimist, or the pessimist, is actually more likely to be accurate on what they can do in terms of they're going to set a goal. They're more likely to exactly hit that goal. The optimists are more likely to fall short of that goal. But do you know what? That optimist, even though he fell short of his goal, he accomplished more than the pessimist did who reached his goal. And it's like, when you think about that, it's like, well, okay, well, you're telling yourself, well, I can't. It's like saying, I'm a realist, so here's my goal. I'm going to jog from here to my door to my mailbox. And guess what? I accomplished it. It's like, well, okay. So you're like, what's the big deal about that? And then someone else could say, well, I'm going to run a marathon this year, and I've never ran in my life. And maybe at the end of the year, maybe they don't get there. Maybe they don't accomplish their goal. But now they just ran in a half marathon race. And like,
right.
What I'm saying is, you accomplish so much more. So there's that aspect of it. But then the other aspect of it is, a lot of times I'm lumped into this world of people who kind of walk around with that, you know, positive thinking kind of stereotype that I don't think is practical. It's not practical at all. It's not practical to say, And I'm going to pick on some people here, but it's not practical to put up a vision board and then not do anything about it and think that just visioning that is going to make that happen. No, that's not what happens. What really happens is you put up – and I have a vision board right here, but that vision board causes me to think about what I want to accomplish and then go out and do something about it. That's how it really works. It's not just – oh, put something up there and look at it and say, oh, make this happen, or, you know, just, I'm just going to think about it, I'm just going to wish about it, and that's it. That doesn't do anything. You got to be practical about it too. You got to be positive with what you're trying to accomplish, but you got to be practical about it too, which means you have to do something about it. You have to take action. And most people don't reach their goals because they just don't take action. They just don't do anything about it, or maybe they do something about it, but they don't stick with it long enough because they give up, they get discouraged. And that's where the positivity comes in. You have to have the positivity to see the end goal and be able to stick with it long enough to see their results.
Right. Yeah, awesome. I feel like there's a difference in the vibration between positive and negative attitudes. And I feel like
100%.
So as far as vibration goes, everyone emits a frequency. Everyone emits, we have a vibrational frequency that we radiate out into the universe based on our thoughts and emotions, and what frequency. If we're radiating on love, if we're really feeling a lot of love and a lot of happiness and joy, then we radiate on a really high vibration. And if we're really down and sad and depressed and angry and full of hatred, then we radiate on a lot lower vibration. And so trying to be positive in your vibration translates into a lot, a very different world view and a different world altogether. If the more people that we can get to be positive, not just Pollyanna, not just pretending, but to be positive in their vibration, we'll have a lot better outcome in our goals, in our lives, in the amount of problems that are in the world. It'll just be a different place if we can figure out how to be positive.
I definitely, well, here's what we'll say. You know, so you got someone listening, and let's say someone listening is skeptical to maybe what you just said. Now, I don't know. I'm just saying, for someone who's listening who maybe is, I don't know how all of this works. I really don't. I don't know the details. I don't know the minutia. I'm not really a detailed guy. That's just not me. I'm not really a super details guy. I'm about results. And what I know is that when I have a positive attitude, when I maintain that attitude, even when things get tough, when I do that, what I know is I see better results in life. What I know is that I'm happier. I know my relationships are better. I know that I achieve more. I know that actually, I don't know how it works, but I know that when I have a positive attitude, I know that I get more clients in my business. And I don't know if it's that they just feel that positive energy to me, like from me, and they feel good and want to work with me, or I don't know. I don't know how any of this works. But what I do know is that when I maintain that positive attitude, and I'm not perfect because sometimes I don't, and when I don't, I see a very different result. When I do, I see a lot more success and life is much better. And when I have a negative attitude, which I do sometimes have, the results show and the results speak for themselves. And that's what I mean about being practical with your positivity. Is it's the most practical advice that I could give anyone.
Yes.
That's it. It's the most practical that there is, because you will have better results.
Right. Of course. Okay. Thanks for saying that. That makes sense. I think that I need to keep in mind the skeptical people who don't follow what I'm saying.
Well, I'm not saying anything wrong with what you said. I just, you know, for me, you know, because I know that's really what it comes down to me. Is okay. So what is the practicality? Someone says, well, I don't want, you know, what are we trying to do here, right? Are we trying to just talk to people who already, are we trying to preach to the choir, or are we trying to convert people? And if someone who is listening is skeptical, that's what I try to think about. Well, what am I trying to accomplish? I want to bring more people to the light side. I want to bring more people into just to experience what I have been able to experience after really transforming my life through this stuff. I don't know how it works, but I'll tell you what, give it a try, and I guarantee that you're going to be happier and that you're going to find more success and create more success because of having that positive energy, having that positive attitude. And yeah, that's what I think.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Okay. So tell us about your number one goal. I mean, the book.
So my book, Your Number One Goal, which everyone listening, you can get a free copy. You just pay for shipping, and I'll actually send you a free physical copy of my book, Your Number One Goal. And what this book is it's a step-by-step guide to reach any goal of any size. And really what it was is that, you know, being a part of the Jack Canfield book was really big for me. Seeing that someone that I looked up to so much, that he thought that this was of value, that my story, I hadn't really thought about it like that. I thought about it as something that, yes, it was an inspiring thing, but, well, no, I did think about it like that, but having Jack say that this was something he wanted to include in one of his books made me go, you know, maybe I have something here, and maybe I really can take things to the next level with my impact on the world. So I decided to write this book, and a lot of it talks about my story there. Well, the beginning of it talks about my story, but after that, you know, my story of reaching what was my number one goal that I had for years, getting, you know, transforming my health and fitness. And I said, well, this is replicable, however you say that word. People can replicate this. So
okay.
I wanted to write a book, a short, quick, easy read, that people could read this book and they can actually have this step-by-step guide to reach whatever that goal is. And it starts with there's three questions that everyone has to ask themselves. And in this book, you'll be able to answer these questions. One, what do you want? Two, why do you want it? Because the why, well, it's, so what do you want? Why do you want it? How are you going to get there? The what, most people have a very vague idea of what they want, but you got to get specific. You got to know exactly what you want, because that's going to determine what you're going to do. And then the why, most people skip the why and just go, okay, how do I do it? How do I do it? How do I do it? But the truth is there's lots of ways to reach whatever goal you have, and all of them work. But yet most people don't actually reach those goals. And it's not because the plan doesn't work. And most people go around looking from plan to plan to plan to plan instead of finding that fuel that's going to push them through. The reason why the goal didn't work is because, or the plan didn't work to reach that goal, is because you didn't stick to it long enough. You didn't stick to it because your excuses are bigger than your reasons. And if your reasons are bigger than your excuses, then you can do anything. So that's the why. And then the how, we do a step-by-step process to find that how, to figure out how you can reach that. And so that's what this book is. It's a step-by-step guide to reach your number one goal, whether it's a business goal, professional goal, personal goal, fitness goal, finance goal, whatever it is, that's what this book is about.
Awesome. Yeah, I read it in an afternoon, and I really loved it. I was on a real high from another program that I'm in, that we were supposed to choose a quality and then choose someone to role model that day. And so I chose enthusiasm. And so my whole day was just, I was just generating as much enthusiasm as I possibly could within myself and within my body and in my life. And then, so I did it coming from that point of view, from that state, and it really was awesome.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
And to have a book like that to, because I had so much energy, so much positive energy, but I was like, okay, now what, where, how do I channel that? And the book was perfect for that. So I was really excited. Really excited.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. And like you said, you know, the average this is kind of crazy, but the average person, that the average buyer of a book only reads 10% of a book. That's That's the average. You know, think about all the books you have on your bookshelf. And yes, you've read many of them, but there's, I'm not talking about you. I'm saying someone listening right now. I guarantee you that there's, and there are mine too. I guarantee you that there's a lot of books on your bookshelf that you've only read the first couple chapters. And because of that, I decided, I was like, you know what? I want to make this just packed full of nuggets that people can use. And I'm going to keep it short so that people can read it in a day, maybe 2 days, or however you choose to read it. Maybe, you know, read 10 minutes a day for a week or two, and you're going to read the whole thing. Or if you want to just plow through it right in one day and then be able to apply, because this book is more about application than it is about just reading it. It's about doing something. And that's why I did that. I wanted it to be something that people could go out and actually read it.
Awesome. Well, I'm really, really grateful for the time that we've spent together. I feel like I've asked the questions I wanted to ask. Is there anything else you wanted to say at this time before we close there?
You know what? There is. I do want to say one. Well, I want to say one other thing, and that is, you know, this idea of being positive. You know, sometimes life is hard. Sometimes things happen, and it just is hard, and there's no way around it. And I think about an experience that I had recently. This is after I, you know, since the book was written, actually very soon after the book came out, this happened. My wife's dad, who has been one of my best friends since I came into the family, this past, well, Thanksgiving, everything was normal. But then a couple days later, he had what we thought was a stroke. And then we took him to the hospital and we found it was a brain tumor. And they found out that it was terminal, and he had a very short time to live.
Wow.
And at that time, he said, you know, of course, at the beginning, it was devastation, but it gave him about a week, and then a week into it, he said, you know what? Oh, and at this time, he was now in a wheelchair because he couldn't really walk anymore. He could a little bit, but not very much, and his speech was slurred. But he knew that eventually that he wasn't going to be able to walk or to be able to talk at all before it took his life. Those two things were going to go completely. And this one day he says, Jake, I know that this is going to take my life. I know that this is going to take my ability to walk. I know this is going to take my ability to speak, but I'm not dead yet. I'm going to walk as much as I can, as long as I can. I'm going to talk as much as I can, as long as I can. And I'm going to live as much as I can, as long as I can. And so he started exercising in his wheelchair. He was moving his leg around and trying to get it better and better and better. He was practicing speaking, doing different techniques and practices and drills to be able to speak better. And eventually he got to the point where he had me come and help him walk, and then eventually got to the point where he said, I don't want that anymore, and he started walking on his own where he wasn't. And he was walking and he was talking for weeks after the doctor said that he should. And then after that, a few more weeks later, he went back in that chair, he stopped speaking, and eventually it took his life. But the thing is he did live as long as he can, as long as he could, as long as he was able to. He did speak as much as he could, as long as he could. He did walk as much as he could, as long as he could. And I think about that, he made the best of his situation. And when I think about him, I just say, if he could make the best of that situation, what excuse do I have to not make the best of my situation? What excuse do you have? What excuse does someone listening, whoever you are right now, whatever you're going through, I know it might be hard, but there's no way it's what he experienced when he was told that he had months left to live. There's no way, but he made the best of it. And
awesome.
That's the greatest thing I could give to someone, is make the best of it no matter what.
Okay. Awesome. Hey, Jake, there's a caller. Looks like they have a question for you. Let's see.
Sure.
It is. Hi, this is Lily Gardner on the North Star Show. Who is this? Hello? Okay, looks like they dropped.
Guess they hung up. Call back.
Okay. Well, we're, yeah, I think that we really need to learn how to live, to fully live and embrace life throughout our lives and just give it the best that we can and no excuses, just like you said. That's a really inspirational story. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. Let's end now. Thank you so much, Jake, for coming on and for sharing with us your wisdom and your experiences and stuff. And
well, you are more than welcome. It was my pleasure.
Hopefully we can have you on again, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. This is Lily Gardner with the North Star Show and Jake Valentine.
Thank you.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Napa Know-How.
Napa Guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa Know-How, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At National University, it's not just a degree in answering the call when a wildfire strikes, getting responders to the scene and families to safety. It's not just a degree in helping communities recover and rebuild. It's not just the degree. It's the degree to which you use it. Earn your degree in Homeland Security and Emergency Management with one course per month. Visit nu.edu to learn more about a nonprofit institution where students come first. National University, for the greater.